You look back over your life, you may discover that a lot of your spiritual progress has been hindered because of condemnation. You can't believe that God declares you righteous. You can't believe. It's too good news to believe. Too good to be true, as they say. Yes, the gospel is too good to be true. But it is true that rotten sinners, God declares, not only forgiven, but justified, righteous, no condemnation. And, the common excuse, but people who take advantage of that. Yeah, those who are unconverted will take advantage of that. Those who are not properly born again will take advantage of it. Let them do it. They're on their way to hell in any case. They can take advantage as much as they like and imagine that they're righteous and go to hell. But a person who's really repented and turned to the Lord, he will never take advantage of this message. No. I believe it with all my heart, and I'll tell you this. It has made me more serious in my battle against sin. Much more serious. Lord, you declare me righteous. Such a rotten sinner, one who slipped up and failed so many times, even after I was converted, and you declare me righteous. How in the world can I take advantage of you, Lord? Impossible. Okay, now we come to Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, 1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death brings condemnation, condemnation, condemnation. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from that. And there is no condemnation. Because it says in Romans 8:3, that condemnation fell upon Jesus on the cross. He was condemned. And it's not just that he took my sins. He was all the condemnation that I should have. He took. He was condemned. I don't believe any of us have really understood the enormousness of the punishment that Jesus suffered on the cross. Condemned by God, 3 hours of being forsaken by God was equal, because Jesus was an eternal being. He never was born or created. He existed from all eternity as the Son of God. When an eternal being suffers separation from the Father, even for 1 second, it's like eternity. So I see that Jesus suffered eternity in hell in those 3 hours on the cross. I don't know why it had to take 3 hours. Even 1 minute would have been eternity for him. But in God's great plan, he hung there for 6 hours. And out of those 6 hours, he suffered the punishment of our sin only for 3 hours. When he cried out, "Oh God, why have you forsaken me?" He never called him Father then. It was the only time in his entire life when he looked up and said God. Till then, all his life, it was Father, 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 but then God. Because then he was in hell. For 3 hours. And then he came out of hell. And he could say, "Father, I commend my spirit in your hand." It was over. The punishment is over. He said, "It is finished." What is finished? He had taken hell for me. And you. Therefore, there is no condemnation for me. Rejoice in it, brother, sister, this wonderful news of the gospel. And I believe it will lead you into a life of real, genuine victory over sin. But coming to here, I want you to see Romans 8:1. Have you heard the statement that whenever you see the word, like, what is the first word in Romans 8:1? Therefore. So whenever you see the word therefore in a verse, ask yourself, what is it there for? Why is the word therefore there? What is it there for? It is connected with the previous verse. You know, in geometry and arithmetic and mathematics, you you write something and you say, those three dots we have in arithmetic saying, therefore this. It's connected to the previous line. So what is the previous line? Listen to this. With my mind, I'm serving the law of God, Romans 7:25. With my flesh, the law of sin. Oh, then you should feel condemned. No, there's no condemnation. Have you ever understood the connection between Romans 7:25 and Romans 8:1? It's unfortunate that these folks who divided the Bible into chapters put a division there. They should have put it before Romans 7:14 or something, or later on in chapter 8. But because they put it right there between 7:25 and 8:1, people don't see the connection between the two verses, but the word therefore indicates it's referring to the previous verse. So let's try and understand a little bit further up. He says in verse 22, Romans 7:22, I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. Everything that God says, I agree with. Yes, I must be pure in my heart, in my thoughts, in my speech, in my actions, in my attitudes, in my motives. I agree 100% that I must be totally pure in my attitudes to people, in my motives with which I do things. In every thought of mine must be 100% pure. Every word must be with grace. Every action of my mind must be good. I agree with it 100%, Romans 7:22, and I agree with it joyfully, not reluctantly. I'm sure most of you can say that. But this also we can say, verse 23, Romans 7:23, I see another law in the members of my body, in my flesh, waging war against my mind, which wants to do God's will alone. Don't you know that battle? Waging war against the law of my mind, which wants to obey God 100% and making me a prisoner to this other law of sin, which is in my flesh. We all know that. We all know it. You determine, today I'm never going to lose my temper. And by the end of the day, you have to repent. Or you go into a very tough situation and say, it's going to be a difficult day for me, but I'm determined I'm not going to sin. And at the end of the day, you have to repent. You know, Romans 7:22, you joyfully concurred with the law of God, but there was a different law in your members, waging war against that purpose of yours and made you a prisoner of the law of sin. So this is talking about a born again person. This is the Apostle Paul writing about his testimony after Romans 6:14, where he says, sin shall not have dominion over me because I'm under grace. This is a guy who has come to victory over sin. But he still finds this struggle. After you get victory over sin, Romans 6:14, you come to Romans 7 where there's a struggle. And he says, oh, what a wretched man I am. Have you ever felt like that? I can think of numerous times in my life where Romans 7:24 has been my cry. Wretched man that I am, who will ever set me free from the body of this death that keeps on? And I determined not to sin, I sin. I determined to control my tongue, but I can't. I determined to keep my thoughts pure, and I don't. Wretched man that I am, not that guy who tempted me. No, not that situation that tempted me or that person who provoked me to sin or lust or anything. No, me, wretched man that I am. Who shall set me free from the body of this death? And he says, thank God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, there is total freedom possible from this being a slave to the lust in the flesh. So until let me explain Romans 7:25 a little more. Thank God there is total victory possible through Jesus Christ. I'm paraphrasing now. I feel so wretched that I who want to do good, I'm doing so many wrong things. But how will I be set free? Thank God, total victory is possible through Jesus Christ our Lord. But until that comes to me in its fullness, I find myself with my mind 100% serving the law of God, but my flesh is still wanting to sin. But even though it's like that, there is no condemnation. Romans 8:1. There is still no condemnation. That's the connection between 7:25 and 8:1. I refuse to come under condemnation because I realize I'm going to fight this battle till Christ comes.